Hello, everyone, and welcome back to SCADcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm Matt Nickley. During SCAD Define Art in February, leading artists from around the world visited SCAD to exhibit across a full spectrum of contemporary art, from painting and photography to sculpture and performance. Our 2020 honoree was cultural maverick Marilyn Minter, a painter, photographer, and social activist who has consistently turned the fine art world on its head since the 1970s. She is representative of an artist's ability to look beyond present trends and guide audiences to where society is going and how we're evolving. Her visit to SCAD included a special exhibition of her work at the SCAD Museum of Art in downtown Savannah. The collection showcased 5 decades of Minter's singular contribution to fine art and the American cultural aesthetic. In addition to gallery talks and lectures to SCAD students, Minter sat with Paula Wallace for a conversation about Minter's compositional techniques, her embracing of the raw and visceral, and her collaborations with beloved brands. From SCADcast, this is On Creativity, a conversation between Paula Wallace and Marilyn Minter.
Photographer, painter, video producer, activist, and cultural provocateur. Welcome, Marilyn Minter, our 2020 SCAD Define Art honoree.
Thank you.
And I know you spent some of your early years in Louisiana and in Florida, so we're really glad to be showing your work here in Savannah, Georgia.
You have no Southern accent.
I do. I'm a Georgia native.
I talk like this until I was 20.
Well, we were just with Bob Wilson, who grew up in Texas, and when he does impressions of his dad,
yeah,
that is really an impression.
So well, my family's from Georgia.
Yes.
And so, but they talk really thick Southern accents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if I'm around them long enough, it comes right back.
Your exhibition here at SCAD entices viewers with 4 decades of your photographic explorations and paintings, as well as your video work. Can you describe the evolution of your practice from the 60s to today?
I feel like, honestly, that I've been making the same work since I started. It just looks different. I've always just been interested in the culture. And I'm a sponge for information. Mm-hmm. And I read like every night till 2 in the morning, pretty much.
What do you like to read?
I love biographies,
but
I like to just soak in what the culture produces on every level, you know, and I love novels, of course, but I'm never going to stop reading, but I don't follow anybody on Instagram, but I am a Twitter junkie, so I figured I could just spend time on one of these social apps, and that, for me, I chose Twitter. Yeah. But I do post on Instagram. And Twitter teaches you a lot. I mean, it teaches you cruelty, and it's very, very fast. But if you want to know anything, if you go to Twitter, you'll know right away. If you hear a rumor, look on Twitter kind of thing. So I am interested in how we perceive information and receive it. And then I try to make work, all my work, even from when I was a kid, I think I try and make a picture of something that exists, but you've never seen that picture before.
No.
So I'll make the picture of it. Mm-hmm. And I just, I sort of like mirror the culture. I think of myself as someone who mirrors the culture, but not in any kind of didactic way. I'm not scolding the culture. I understand the culture. I understand that everything's reversed. Mm-hmm. I understand whatever happens here. Like we got, Obama for 8 years, and then Trump is a reaction to that, and then we're going to go the other way. Mm. It's just, and then I feel like for everything, though, art, just from art history, neoclassicism to Rococo, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so we just have the opposite, and the eye craves the opposite. And maybe I can see the pattern sometimes of what's going to happen. Mm. I feel, because I take in so much information. And I feel like, maybe I see something before other people see it. I hope so.
I think so, too. You use a phantom camera to capture your video work. How does that convey your point of view and your technique?
Well, I used the phantom years ago when it first came out. Mm-hmm. Now it's on every ad. I like that. Well, I've always talked about, I've never shot a whole human being. I've never done a painting of a whole human being. I only do...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I only do close-ups. And I think of that as it's more timeless. If you get close up, you don't have all the clues of the era. Mm. And so I always talk to my students, I always tease them. I say, well, what is that? What is it that if you saw a picture of it, you wouldn't know when it was done? You would, mm-hmm. like a drawing. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know if it was done in ancient times, in the 20s and now. And they never could think of what it is, and it's the naked human body. Mm-hmm. And it's food, uncooked food. Okay. But even trees, you'll know if it was a landscape from Thomas Cole or a landscape from, they're not universal. Mm-hmm. So if you get close up, you lose a lot of the narrative. And I'm allergic to narrative.
So that You're allergic to it. Now, why do you say that?
Well, I think I don't like to tell anybody what to think. Mm-hmm. I want them to, when I really respond to an artwork, it's because I feel like it's the truth. It's like, mm-hmm. oh yeah. And it's like, we live in, our art world is very tiny, but it's a language. Mm-hmm. So I know when someone's moving the dial in art history, mm-hmm. by their work. And I'm fascinated by that language.
Yes.
And so I want people to come to my work with their own histories and their own experiences, and hopefully there'll be a dialogue between my work and all of art history.
Yes.
So if you give too many clues, then it's an illustration.
Mm-hmm. You once said, "I zone in on the overlooked."
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that? You're talking about you don't paint like an entire person, for instance.
Well, I'm not interested in an entire person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make another pretty picture of a human, mm-hmm. but I am interested in the fur underneath your nose. It feels so soft. I painted every one of those hairs. I know, you pull
and
your socks down.
Toes of people and splashing.
Yeah, you do get
splatters.
Dirty feet if you dance all night in sandals, even if they're really expensive.
They're beautiful, yeah.
And if you live in New York City, you're going to get, if it's a muddy, rainy night, you're going to get splashed by a taxi going by . But it's a real thing. I mean, whenever you see dirt in paintings, it's like placed, and I like the idea of actually shooting the real puddle splashing. And then I just changed the puddle to paint, silver and gold paint in some of the works I've been doing. It's almost like a metaphor for modern culture and how messy and untidy it is, even though we're giving images constantly of perfection. And everything human is shot through with imperfection. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes us really, it does, it's clinically proven that it makes you unhealthy to try and erase imperfection. We have this horrible body dysmorphia in children and teenagers now because of erasing, any body fat.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still get a lot of pleasure out of looking these gorgeous models in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all the same thing. There's threads of all of that in everything I do.
How is it working with big brand collaborators like Tom Ford or Jimmy Choo or MAC Cosmetics and pop icons like Madonna and Gaga?
Well, they're just like us. they're just, they're just people. There couldn't be nicer, all of them. And I think... I don't do that many. I wish I got more, but everyone sort of you know, I'm a little too, I guess I'm too X-rated for most commercial products. But if I can piggyback art off of it, I'll work with anybody.
Well, you told a fascinating story earlier
in the museum,
yes, about Mac, about using that in-between time.
Well, I always
very ingenious.
Do. Well, you know, they know it when they hire me. And they say, you know, and they know it. And then I say, well, I'm going to keep shooting. And I get the models I want. And so nobody really touches me. I'm in an agency, but I'm the least moneymaker for the agency. I said, why do you keep me on here? But I do piggyback, and I keep shooting. And I, you know, when I did Jimmy Choo, she didn't mind at all, Tamara Mellon. She said, go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Those beautiful shoes and sandals with the splashes are Jimmy Choo's?
I once shot for a magazine, and I had all these shoes, really expensive, gorgeous shoes. And one day I shot splashing in water. Mm-hmm. And then I had a day in between, and then I shot the same shoes in mud.
Ah.
And then I cleaned them all up and shot them in water the next day. So I had 2 days of shooting, but I made it three.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really like, get all that mud off.
That was beautiful.
I take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned so much when I work with commercials. I don't know anything about makeup. I learned makeup. I learned about the new tech. I learned new lighting. You work with these commercial photographers, assistants, they're like brilliant. Tech-wise, and we just pick up stuff constantly. We're like a sponge. We steal from everyone.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yes, learn from everywhere.
Oh, God, yeah. And this one guy we work with is like, works for everybody in my agency. He's a lighting director, and we get so much information from him.
Like
what? He just tells us what lights to buy.
Oh.
You know, mm-hmm. Tells us, you know, okay, get rid of that, and now get this. We do whatever he tells us.
Very interesting.
Instead of renting it all the time.
Mm. You sometimes photograph your work behind glass and utilize water and steam as well. So what informs these decisions as to which of your techniques you utilize?
Well, I've been working behind glass since 2009, since I first did that the Green Pink Caviar video.
Mm.
And that's another way of racing erasing the narrative. And so if you come out of I like the idea of coming out of, I don't, like I said, I'm not interested in making, you know, another beautiful woman made up or another beautiful object made up. But I like the idea of, like right now, I've been working with 21st century bathers.
Yes.
Because in that 21st century bathers are shower doors.
Mm.
Because I feel like, how come women never make other women grooming when there are people, of course, there are lots of males that paint bathers, and mm-hmm. you know, always have.
Yes.
But there's only a couple of women. Mary mm-hmm. Cassatt, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. does groom. Lisa Yaskavich does a little bit of grooming. But I thought, well, you know, I want to see what a 21st century bather's done, mm-hmm. What that looks like from a 21st century woman making these mm-hmm. paintings.
Yeah, from a woman.
And does it change the meaning?
Mm-hmm.
And so my next show is all these bathers in France, believe it or not, in a museum.
Really? Where?
Yeah, Montpellier, MoCo.
Oh, well, if you're over there, come visit us in
Lacoste.
Opens
in May, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, SCAD is everywhere.
Tell me about the day you photographed Wangechi Mutu.
Because
has been at SCAD, too.
Oh, yeah,
and you told a wonderful story about
that.
Well,
I was really documenting her pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And because she wanted
at her request or at your instigation?
At her request, yeah. But I worked with her like with I work with everybody. She styled herself, and I was making a picture of her 8.5 months pregnant, and she was like fooling around. We were just fooling around, and you know, like that liquid that I work with, it's like vodka and food coloring, baking products like silver, you know, and gold paint. Mm-hmm. I make that illusion of paint, but what it is vodka and silver cake decoration.
Oh.
And gold cake decoration. So she was like playing around. She made her lips blue. I didn't, you know, she thought of everything she did, really. But she was pregnant, so she couldn't swallow any of
yes.
it. So I took a lot of pictures of her spitting it up. And we were just playing around. We, you know, it was just a natural, organic thing. And I got all these paintings and photos out of it.
Oh, amazing.
But she's 8.5 months pregnant. She made a bunch. I give her a whole bunch of pictures to make collages out of, which she did.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the vodka and the food?
From a makeup artist.
A makeup artist, really?
Yeah, uh-huh. who did food, who worked with, it was a makeup artist who said, no, if you work with vodka, it's more viscous. Mm-hmm. It's not, it won't separate. Water and the cake stuff separates, mm-hmm. whereas the vodka, it doesn't.
Oh.
It does kill the color after a day, mm-hmm. so it's not shiny anymore. You have to work with it. You can't use it the next day, mm-hmm. but it is, looks like it's, you know, it looks like paint.
Mm.
I thought it did anyway.
Yes, it does look like paint. I thought it was paint. It looks fascinating.
No, paint is toxic. You die.
No, you're not going to use that, yeah.
I haven't killed the bottle yet.
No, good. Your enamel on metal material process is archivally sound. Was that a consideration when choosing these materials?
Not really. But it is so archival. Yeah,
it is so archival.
Yeah, because it's supposed to last 80 years outdoors. Yeah, I'm in trouble if they ever stop making sign painting paint. I just wanted to look different than the collaboration I was doing with, for a few years with another artist in the East Village. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, this is one way to do it because enamel is so different than mm-hmm. oil. Mm-hmm. And I worked with oil up until that point. Mm-hmm. And it does look different. Actually, once I touched it, I never went back.
Yeah, it's quite rich. And
And I like the colors. And I like what I can do with the translucency. And with oil, I'd have to wait for everything to dry
mm-hmm.
between... Mm-hmm. You know, to get the translucency, because I really want depth of color.
Oh, it's really
rich.
I'm
clearly a little nuts when it comes to surface.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
You're certainly known as a feminist. What is your take on that term, and why do you think it's still important today? You talked a little bit about that.
I mean, who doesn't want women to have equal pay for equal work?
Yes.
And who doesn't want women to have their own reproduction choices, make their own reproduction
Why do we still
choices?
Have to talk about this?
Really? God, who isn't a feminist, you know? So, I mean, that's a feminist. And I don't know. I think of, you know, everything I do is all the men I work with, everybody I know is a feminist. You know, they're all our allies mm-hmm. if they're another gender.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today's world is finally, we're getting opening the door to the fluidity and people of different color. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And all of, I mean, it's like, I didn't even know David Hammons was an artist till the 90s. I never saw his work in history books mm-hmm. or art classes. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the best artists ever in the 20th century, 21st century. And so that's the beauty of today. That's the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm, true. Yeah, we inducted a few women into, we have kind of a Women's Hall of Fame here at
SCAD. Oh, really?
For Savannah.
Your graduates.
For Savannah, the history of Savannah being one of the first 13 colonies really has not, there are some monuments to General Oglethorpe or Tamachichi, but there really were no recognitions of women who have had an important role
in building
the city.
It's so, I mean, I read this, you might have read it too, it's so good, Ninth Street Women. All mm. those women were just erased out of art history.
Out of art history.
Yeah, and they were like, Helen Frankenthaler was the Venice Biennale American artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't really study her or look at her work. I mean, that's changing now.
Yes.
You're doing the same thing in Savannah with women that were like, they were probably really famous when they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just erased.
Yes, yes. Authors, inventors, business people, artists, yes. Landscape architects.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of today.
Mm, yeah. To me, you represent hope.
Oh, thanks.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, it's what a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Yay.
You're good at this.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Marilyn Minter. You can learn more about her retrospective exhibition, Nasty Woman, at scadmoa.org. There you can also view other current exhibitions virtually and hear from the artists including Kentura Davis, Shoplifter, and Raul de Nieves. Many of us have been filling our time catching up on movies, television, and podcasts like this one. But it's the perfect time to view museum collections and exhibitions we may have missed the chance to see in person. Keep in tune with all aspects of culture during this time of virtual learning, listening, and sharing. And for SCAD email holders, you can view upcoming On Creativity Lives as part of SCAD Guests and Gusto. Coming up next is Google Design Manager Mike Buzzard on May 6th at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, and fashion designer Prabal Gurung on May 11th at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. You can learn more and register at scad.edu/guests-and-gusto. I hope to see you there. Thank you for tuning in to SCADcast and On Creativity, executive produced by SCAD President and Founder Paula Wallace, with original music by SCAD alumnus George Lovett. On behalf of the entire SCAD community, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay active. We'll see you next time.